Well, well, well.
Thank you for being so loud this time. I do appreciate it.
Not a problem, sire. But this... Snakes have their holes, rats have their nests, and the warlock has his tower. He never did care much for the light of day. Have you found the door, sire?
There doesn't seem to be one, Sir Champion.
Really? He really doesn't get out much.
No reason to, I suppose. I'd imagine he has everything he needs in there. He's conjured food and wine before, hasn't he?
Entire banquets. He considered it nothing more than a simple parlor trick. But it certainly always got quite the reaction from the courtiers.
Where did the food come from?
I'm the champion, not a student of magic. All I remember is he made an incredible roast duck.
So if he can conjure everything, he never needs to leave.
So no door.
There are windows, though.
There are indeed.
The champion walked to the tower and then reached up to the nearest window.
No answer. Try again.
The shutters flew open to reveal a gray-haired old man dressed in sorcerer's black. He glared impartially at Rupert and the champion.
Go away!
That's the warlock, all right. Never one for manners.
We're going to be polite. We can't afford to be left stranded out here when night falls. Try again.
Very well.
Please come out, Sir Warlock. We need to talk to you.
No!
If you don't come out, we'll come in and get you.
You... And what army?
We and the army of the Forest Kingdom.
Through the open shutters, the High Warlock looked past Rupert and the champion at the 25 guards gathered together at the foot of the tower's hillock. Rupert glanced back at his men, trying to see them as the warlock would. Their armor was battered and bloodied, but they hefted their swords with a grim competence. They looked tired, disreputable, and extremely menacing. More like bandits than guardsmen.
This is your army?
Yes.
Get them off my lawn, or they're all frogs.
Now what do we do?
Well, first we get the army off his lawn. All right, men. We need you all to step back. Give the tower some room, everybody. And put away your swords.
Rupert glared at the champions departing back. There were times when he wondered just whose side the champion was on. He turned reluctantly back to the closed shutters.
Sir Warlock, are you still there? Sir Warlock? Oh, great, we've upset him now.
He looked back at his men. Under the champion's orders, they'd sheathed their swords and moved away from the tower. They were now standing at parade rest and trying hard to look harmless. They weren't being noticeably successful. Rupert glanced up at the darkening sky, and his frown deepened into a scowl. Night was almost upon them. Already the air was growing colder, and it seemed to Rupert that the swirling wall of snow was just a little closer to the Dark Tower than it had been.
Oh. Hey! Come on! We've been traveling here for months! We had to fight off a giant slime thing! We've braved cold, dark, sleet, rain... traveled through the dark wood. We fought off demons and who knows what else back there. We've lost 24 men and all our horses getting here. All I want is to talk to you and explain what's going on out there. Damn it! I'll be damned if I'll let my men face the dark again while there's shelter right in front of us.
He studied the closed shutters thoughtfully. They didn't look all that strong. He grinned suddenly. He shoved his sword between the two shutters. It was a tight fit, but there seemed to be plenty of room to continue shoving. He waited a moment to make sure the warlock didn't decide to set his sword on fire, or worse.
He probably just stomped off in a huff. Now to get some better leverage.
He pushed hard, sliding the sword in gradually until the crosshilt stopped it. He considered his next action carefully, remembering the transformed messenger who now guarded the castle moat.
No! My men need shelter!
He grasped the sword hilt firmly with both hands and pushed.
Now hold on, Rupert. You don't want to break the damn thing.
Rupert looked behind him. The last of the light was fading away, and he saw the storm growing inexorably closer.
If it breaks, too bad. My men need shelter.
He scrambled to his feet, sword at the ready, to see if there would be any response from inside. Long moments passed. He could feel the eyes of his men burning into his back. He figured he must look pretty silly right now, looking like he was losing a fight with a shutter. But Rupert knew the stories. He knew about the warlock's temper. But maybe he had calmed down over the years, or just stopped caring. He looked cautiously through the open window. The room was a mess. Crude wooden tables and benches lined the walls, all but buried under assorted alchemical equipment. Glass retorts and earthenware beakers covered every available surface, including the bare earth floor. A large wrought iron brazier squatted commandingly in the middle of the room, its coals glowing redly. And everywhere, scattered throughout the room, a forest of interconnected glass tubing that sprawled across the wooden tables, crawled along the walls, and spread its roots and tendrils wherever it could force a space. Half the room was taken up by a battery of stacked animal cages, each filled to bursting. And as he locked eyes on them, they seemed to come to life.
Quiet, all of you! Shush!
There were birds and monkeys, rats and salamanders, and even a few piglets. The smell was appalling.
Damn it, I'm not going to hurt you. Just be quiet! Oh, fine, then. If you're going to scream my arrival, I might as well barge right in.
Rupert pulled himself up onto the narrow windowsill. He glared down at the crowded tabletop below him and carefully lowered himself into the largest gap he could find.
I hope there wasn't anything important on that table.
Shut up, animals!
Thanks.
He looked around at the parts of the room he hadn't ruined yet. The room seemed much bigger from the inside. It was easily 30 feet in diameter and brightly lit by a single glowing sphere hanging unsupported in the air just below the high raftered ceiling. Rupert frowned. From the size of the room, it had to be the entire first floor of the tower. But there didn't seem to be any way of reaching the other floors. There was a trap door in the ceiling, but no obvious way of getting to it. He shrugged and moved cautiously around the room, fascinated by the various magical paraphernalia. The caged animals, now curiously silent, studied him as he passed. One sad-eyed monkey reached out to him past the bars of its cage, its mouth opening and closing like a fish. He smiled guiltily at the monkey and moved on. A clear liquid pulsed continuously through the glass tubing, occasionally emptying out into carefully positioned beakers.
Huh? Did I just kick a skull? This is a skull.
I don't recall inviting you in.
Rupert's heart jumped as he looked up at the ceiling. Through the trapdoor opening gazed the ancient, seamed face of the High Warlock.